Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. Today it's a very, very, very special episode, and well, I'm quite excited about what we have in store today. It's going to be really, really interesting. And yeah, we decided to do this as a surprise. Normally we should have made some buzz and paparazzi on social media, but well, let's
not our way.
Yeah.
Many, many surprises.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about a very, very important topic, which is the Nigerian Startup Bill. And it's a law that seeks to improve Nigeria's entire tech space. And we've been buzzing about it for the past few weeks. And I've been talking about it on other media channels. And today we have the main man behind the whole Startup Bill thing. Like how do I put it in very, very, very nice adjectives?
Don't do it like those church crusades and they want to invite the lead pastor.
Okay, so we have Oswald here with us today. He's the senior special assistant to the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, and is here to dissect the Startup Bill, and he's going to answer all our questions and all our plenty questions that we'll be answering.
Emmanuel, you forgot to introduce yourself. This excitement now, wow.
Okay. Yes, I'm Emmanuel, and this is
Oluwani Femi.
And yes, let's allow you to come on stage and talk to us.
Hello, everybody, TechPoint and members of the tech ecosystem. It's my pleasure to be here today. My name, as mentioned, is Oswald Osaritin Gobadia, and I'm the lead for the Nigerian Startup Bill.
All right. Nice to have you here today, Oswald. And yeah, there are many, many important questions to ask. But first of all, I think we might want to clarify something. So I think a few weeks ago, the Nigerian Senate passed the Nigerian Startup Bill.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So, and last week, we learned that the House of Reps also passed it, but we could not find any record on it of the passing on YouTube. We could only see it on their social media page. So, could you help us clarify what happened there? And
I'm guessing it's procedural, because the process that happened on the 27th, was a two-part process. So a bit of it happened on the 26th, and the second part happened on the 27th. So it depends on what day you're looking at. Mm. On the 26th, it was moved from committee to the Committee of the Whole. I'm not sure if the audience knows these. I'm just learning them myself. Mm. So basically, it was previously with the Committee on Tech ICT, right? So it was moved from them to the Committee of the Whole, and then the following day was now voted into has passed third reading. So it happened in over 2 days. But if you look at the the Twitter handle for the House, you see it was listed as one of the 10 bills that were passed that day for third reading.
Yes. Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense. So now with that clarification in mind, we're going to go straight into the thick of things. And also joining us today, he's not here yet, but we're supposed to have like a tech lawyer and policy expert with us, and I'm going to let you know once he joins, so just watch out for that. So but before we continue, let's try to understand what a startup bill really is for anybody listening or watching this out there. What is a startup bill, and why should I care about it? I'm a young man, I love tech, I love gadgets, but why should I care about a law that the House is about to pass?
That's exactly why you should care about it. You are a young man and you love tech.
Okay.
Those are the exact reasons. What a law does, like anything else, for anything, right? It basically sets the rules of the playing field, right? It provides a framework in which we're going to operate in. What the Nigerian Startup Bill does is it creates an enabling environment for the digital economy and the digital technology for Nigeria. And the people who are going to benefit from the most are, young people who are creating value-added ideas, across the country. They are the ones who are going to benefit from what the potentials of the Nigerian Startup Bill will bring.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think it sounds like something that should make us happy, like something that would calm the tech ecosystem down, given the turmoils that have been coming from the government to us. And if anything excites me about this, is the fact that at least we are getting a definition for startup in Nigeria. I know startup will no longer be classified under SMEs, you get, and every other small businesses. Now you are seeing people that are bringing solutions with tech innovations. But look, going by what has happened in the past, right? And even when tech startup are not really recognized, but regulators knew they existed, you get, and they've been trying to enter conversations with them, which has not really been going well. With case of, say, the ride-hailing platforms, yes, and then there was a time crowdfunding platform also received. So how would this make a difference? Right. Yes, they are promising us that this will encourage, this will foster conversations with the government. So how would this be different from what we've always had before?
Okay. So I think what we have to take note of is that there's no any environment that we admire globally is not a wild, wild west.
Hmm.
Right. We have startups in Nigeria that are currently registered in Delaware. Right? So I ask you why, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they fill out forms, they're submitting themselves to dozens of rules and regulations and policies, right? And a lot of the pre-thinking, a lot of the foundational stuff is behind every document you fill. They say fill document 5221, you fill it. Fill document 3362, you fill it. Your lawyer is filling it for you. You are signing and you are excited.
Mm-hmm.
But you are being subjected to rules that guides the relationship. Right, so what we don't have here is that we don't have those rules that guide relationship, but yet you demand relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm not your boyfriend, but meanwhile you said we are together. So key is to form a relationship. Mm-hmm. What the Nigerian Startup Bill is, it sets the foundation. So if you read the bill, if you ever take a hold of the bill, you will see that it drops, it puts seedlings for different things. The bill itself is based on founded on collaboration and engagement. Right, that's the fundamental part of the bill. Essentially, the way the bill was developed is based on collaboration and engagement. So, if you think about it, this bill has happened very quickly.
Yeah,
it's under 24 months. Average bill takes 3 years, 3 to 4 years, right? That's because the approach for the bill, which we call the Big Tent approach, really started off by pulling in all parties, right? If you're able to get a video of the public hearing from the Senate public hearing, you will hear MDAs go up there and say, "Oh, we support the bill." Because this, we're already doing this, and this is in line with what we're trying to do.
Mm.
Because they were engaged, right? Mm. So the Big Tent approach begged for us to, the idea of it, you know, I always hate to say circus because it sounds like it's a big joke, but, you know, if you ever picture the circus tent, right? Mm. If you ever see those movies with the circus, you will notice the circus tent is held up by poles, and there's no door. Mm. That's what we mean when we say the Big Tent approach, right? As in the door is open, and you are welcome to come and be a pole in this tent. Any one of you, Tech Point as a media entity, is welcome to come in there and be a pole. You know, MDAs are welcome to come in and be a pole. The lawyer who is coming on shortly is welcome to come in and be a pole to add value to making it better, right? So when you look at it from that perspective, it already forms the basis in which, you know, engagements will happen between the private sector and the public sector and the government. And we, even from the process, you know, some people will say, okay, what is the bill? When is the bill going to have impact, right? And I would say to them, you know, interestingly enough, it's already having small impact. Even the way we look at the ecosystem. If anybody ever reads my background, they didn't bomb me in government, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right before I joined government, maybe a few months ago, maybe it's almost going to 2 years. Actually, this August will make 2 years. I was a private sector person in Lagos. I run a company. The company's still there. It's over 17 years old, right? So we are a participator in this economy, right? And, you know, one of the key things we've already started understanding is that when we say ecosystem, we always think it's us, is me, the startup guy, me that invests in startups, you that is the media guy from startups, you know, we are the ecosystem. We tend to forget that the ecosystem has other players in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the ecosystem, we now see the ecosystem, beginning to start seeing the ecosystem, or preaching the ecosystem as a practitioner, which is those who are doing value creation, and policymakers.
Glitters.
Both make the ecosystem, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're now driving for is a healthy ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Some of those things you just mentioned is an unhealthy ecosystem, right? So the NSB helps create that environment for that to happen. So if you look at the the bill, the very first thing off the bat starts with the council.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you say, why? What a council? What? So the reason why it has a council is that the council is chaired by the president himself. Right? If you ever dealt with anything in public sector, you realize anything that has the president on it gives it a level of visibility and focus of everybody involved. Right?
Yeah.
And generally, a lot of times you have a council with the president but not the VP. This one we put both.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then we now went ahead and put other ministers who we feel had impact or effect
on the
entire ecosystem, right? So it's not all of them, but it's a few of them. And then we now added private sector people, right? So private sector people are now, so now you now have, it's not balanced, it's more public sector than private sector, but it's, let's just say, if you want to use simple numbers, it can be 9 to 6 or 9 to 7, something like that. And in this council, the council is now empowered to sit above every single regulation that touches the tech-enabled ecosystem. So in essence, on the federal level, by the way, no law or rule or policy or regulation can just happen
without them being involved.
And now you now have recourse. So that's sort of the structure. So let me just take a break there and let you guys.
Yeah.
I could just, you know, keep talking.
Yeah, we're receiving everything. Yeah, so it's that's been really enlightening. So talking about the council, the structure, and so what's that council supposed to do? And I learned from the bill that's going to be HQ'd at NIDDA, which is Nigeria's Technology Development Agency.
Yeah.
So why that decision to make it the headquarters? And
so I wouldn't use headquarters, that's probably right. I would say it's the secretariat.
Right? Okay.
Right. The work that needs to happen to drive the initiatives and the decisions made by the council would be executed by NIDDA. So when you say headquarters, it may give you a double headed, there's only one head. You understand? Perfect. The council is the leadership of it. Right? The NIDDA serves as the secretariat. Then I will now ask the question, who else do you think should have done it? You know, this was not like one person sitting in the room that came up with this. This the people who know what's happening in government that said this is the best place for it to be, regardless of how you feel about it. This is the best place to be, right? And you know, I would jump forward to say, I think when we talk about MDAs that we may like or not like, as citizens, we tend to forget that we have the opportunity. We can create the opportunity to place who leads the organization. Any ecosystem we respect and admire does not allow things to go wild, wild west. There's a calculated effort in understanding who's going to be this person, this job. If that's the only one we want in government, how do we as an ecosystem position ourselves to ensure that the person who we think is the right person for that role is the person that sits there?
That makes a lot of sense. I guess at this point, let's hear from Timi Olagunju, a tech lawyer and policy expert. He has joined us virtually today. Timi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. My challenge is the fact that what you order versus what you get. The internet is obstructed by rainfall.
Oh.
Welcome to Nigeria.
Yeah, you can see me, but the challenge will then be that that will be at the expense of me going.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. So, but you've been following the conversation so far.
Oh, yes, correct? I did. Very interesting and important conversation. Yeah.
Okay. So, at this point, do you think the Nigerian Startup Bill is like an important step at this point in time?
Oh, yeah.
From a policy perspective, do you see this as like, this is like the perfect time for it to put an end to all of our uncertainties and all of our wahalas in this tech space?
Well, basically, regulations basically have the power of creating a template. You know, the foundation, and I like to say if the foundation be destroyed, what can the makeup artists do? The ladies know better. They'll put powder. And so that serving as a foundation would help, you know, ensure that the system, the ecosystem, the startup ecosystem is kind of identified and brought into the picture, because that's very important, because there's been a series of debates whether, you know, we really do have an ecosystem. But so this is a start. The implementation, as you know, in Nigeria, you know, as well as everywhere else, there's a difference between law and implementation. But there's an interesting matrimony between them, and it's a good foundation. And when we should have started should have been yesterday. Yeah. So basically, it's a good step in the right direction. I think in the course of the conversation, I might be able to talk on specifics in that sense, and a bit of critique as well.
Okay, thank you very much. So he talked about implementation. So I think that's a question on anybody's mind. Okay, this is great, this is awesome, but is it going to be just one piece of paper sitting somewhere in the government house? How do we make sure it's affected?
I seriously pray not. that actually gives myself and the entire team sleepless nights, right? What is critical is to know that, like you just said, a bill, a law, an act is just a piece of paper. Right. What gives it life is people. Right. And what's critical to understand, and this is where it's probably one of the reasons I drove to Ikeja. Right. Otherwise, I just dialed in, is that we all have to understand that we have a role to play in it. Right. It's not the NSB team. It's not me. Right. It's all of us. Every single person within the ecosystem needs to understand that this bill is for you. Right. You should read it. I mean, once we recently just took down the version that was online, but we're waiting to upload the National Assembly version, because there's a few changes that would be rather misleading if we left the older version up. So we're gonna upload it when we get the newer version. Read it, understand it, take your critiques, write it down, strategize around it. Like, okay, this is something I don't like about the bill. But this is how I think we can improve on it. Because a lot of times when I speak to people and they critique the bill, I think they're operating from a perspective that we're going to be disengaged, right? Whereas we are preaching, let's engage and collaborate, which means that this is not the end, which means that next year we should be doing, updates, amendments 5566221 to the NSB, right? Mm-hmm. That would be a significant, that would show that we are engaged, because we are building on the seed, right? So it's not the end. It's let's understand what has been started and build on it. So the implementation is critical because it needs all of us, right? We are going to be working with a number of agencies. A number of ideas are going to be needed on how to implement the language of the bill. Right? Do you go fully automated? Do you go partially automated? There are a few questions in the bill that need to be determined on the best way to do it. How do you deal with this agency versus this agency? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of seedlings dropped in the bill, as in research, IP, credit, even the seed fund through the NSIA. There are a lot of different things, free trade zones, hub support. How do you apply for that? How do you tap into those resources? Those things will need our minds, right? Those of us who are creative to find a great way to submit ideas on how they believe it should be done versus what's going to do. So implementation is key. Right now, the NSBT, two things sit on our mind. One is implementation, and the second is state adoption, right? Those two things are all we're thinking about. I will confess that it was very, the team, an amazing team, by the way, we're great on planning, but I would say this, that we've left the implementation conversation sort of, hanging and waiting for more ideas to come in. So it's not just the team that's been working on it that's the only ones thinking about it, right? And also, I would admit that the passage of the bill, right, within the time it got passed, although it was planned, right? I'm a project manager by training. Although it was planned and we believed it was going to happen, and there were a lot of things that delayed it, should have happened months ago. It wasn't always this very certain, right? It's not like we just walked in and said, this must happen. In our hearts, we knew it must happen, but it happening, was much of a blessing to every single person on the team, as it was everybody else who's not on the team, right? So it's one of those things where now that it's passed, we're not like, okay, this thing, maybe call the structure. Although there's some think tanks that have been already started doing certain things around what's the best way, what's the impact of the bill. There's at least two of them who have been writing papers, actually have a meeting that today, on what's the impact of the bill. But I think ultimately that process will be a bit more, will be more robust, as because the bill will be public. We should be getting papers from everybody. Everybody should have an idea. Maybe it's you guys from TechPoint that will come out and tell us, you know, how we'll do XYZ better than the next person. And let's get it done. State adoption is critical. The two or three examples that you gave were all state, they're all subnational.
Sure.
Right? And we've always known that to be important from day one. And we've already started driving it. So if you've been paying attention, Kaduna is well into the process, right? I think what would delay them is election. Mm-hmm. Lagos has announced.
Yeah.
Ekiti is, they've already started, but they're yet to announce. Yobe has announced. Anambra is looking at it and they're about to announce. Edo State looking at it, they're about to announce. So that's just a few states, right? I think what has happened to us once again is that on the plan, we should have passed the bill months ago, which would have kept us a bit far away from the election cycle, right?
Yeah.
But though the election cycle got extended this direction, so the election cycle also came to us,
mm-hmm.
right? I think if not those two things, would have been further ahead, because if you're a state governor, you're leaving, you're not sure you're going to stay,
mm-hmm.
you're not really going to be starting any... Oh, sorry, Quora started the conversation as well.
Oh, cool.
And so the thing I would always say about these two new paths, implementation and state adoption, is one to the ecosystem, the practitioners, is, you know, what are your ideas after you see the bill? What are your ideas of how this bill should be implemented, you know, best? Do you have a system already half developed that you think would do a good job at the engagement portal? Bring it on. Let's that is starting point. Let's not start from zero, right? Mm-hmm. State adoption. Don't look at me. Why is your state not adopting? My state is adopting, and I made the call myself personally.
Mm.
I didn't make that call as a senior special assistant president. I made that call as a citizen of the state, as in, you guys better get started, right? So the question is, as a member of the ecosystem, why is your state not adopting? So as a member of the ecosystem, you should be pushing your state. Those of you who are local in the state should be pushing your state to say, look at this bill, we must adopt.
Mm. You feel me? Are you hearing?
Yes, of course. Ondo State, I'll try to preach something on that end too.
Hashtag Ondo adopts NSB.
Yeah,
right. That's a good one. It's great that you touched on those two important top sections, because track record does not show us that state governments are always ready to accept whatever the federal government passes, and implementation is also, it doesn't seem like a strong point for the federal government. But I'm glad that you touched on elections, right? Governments will soon change. And so what happens? It seems like new governments find a way to sabotage whatever the old government has done. So how does startup bill escape that?
Yeah, that's, I think I already used the sleepless nights thing already. I would say to you that when you do engagement, you understand that there's the, trying to find a nice way to say this, there's the transitional government and there's the government, right? So, for instance, I'm transitional government. I'm gone in months, right? But there are people at NITA, there are people at a lot of agencies that are at the crust of this bill that aren't going anywhere.
Mm.
There are people in ministry. This is their jobs. That's what they are. They've been there 10 years, right? There are people at SEC that are not going anywhere. There are people at ministries that are not going anywhere. This is what we mean by engagement. It means that the practitioners in the ecosystem need to engage the government that doesn't move.
Mm.
Right? Right, so you ultimately, you know, enshrine the idea at deeper levels, right? You know, if you look at the National Assembly, there are senators and House of Rep members that leave, they go. In fact, right now, a lot of them are leaving, right? There's a huge turnover, but the people who run the National Assembly are not going anywhere. The clerks of committees, the clerks of the, they're not leaving. They don't leave when government change.
Mm.
That's a fair right. point then.
So it's a key of, it's critical that we understand how the government works and start saying, okay, you know, come together, unite together as an ecosystem. I know I start sounding idealistic, but from sitting where I am and where I was sitting before, the cries I hear all the same. You are crying, but why are you not together to try to figure it out together to the same government? But no, you're doing it individually. So it's only when you now hear bad news. If you notice a trend, it's only when you hear bad news is when we unite.
Yeah.
Right? So mm-hmm. you will see on Twitter, some bad news has happened. There'll be 6,000 people on the Twitter
thread
conversation. Not just the thread, on the Twitter, what they call that thing?
Spaces.
6,000. I've counted. I just go there, look at it, and I leave. 6,000. Mm. You know, just to discuss what? Bad bosses or this or that or that. But when you now say that you have something that could potentially create an enabling environment that can help us achieve all our goals. So the vision is that startups should start our villages. Not, we don't have garages. Do you have a garage?
No.
Okay. So our basic unit, our bottom unit is a garage, is a village. So if we say that, if you think about it, what are all the things that need to be in place for Emeka in his village to be able to do a startup and look to his right and actually have resources to execute that idea? Mm. Right? So if you think about all those things and we start putting those things in place, can you imagine where we'll go?
Mm.
Sounds crazy, but it's actually a vision that we should all be, you know, dialing into. That has a level of infrastructure integration and the level of policy integration and engagement that we want. So a lot of times you will find that the reason why, you know, a policy may not make sense to you as a value creator or practitioner is because you have not educated the system on what you're trying to do. Mm. Right? So should we be blaming or should we be trying to
get on board?
Okay, so those are really, really crazy valid points. And I guess two things that should be like one of our main watchwords should be for the entrepreneur out there or any business owner out there. How do they get involved with the startup bill? Because I've seen some town halls, I've seen some form of engagement, but it's still not quite clear. And even those who feel they can work, for me personally, I still have a little bit of skepticism regarding, because we've seen things like this before. It's precedence, pure precedence that's causing this, right? And you made mention that it's even causing sleepless nights on your team to mm-hmm. see how this gets implemented. So how do we get both skeptical and non-skeptical business owners, startup founders, people you don't expect would join this movement?
So this is a touchy subject for me now. Nothing. This particular question has given me sleepless nights. It actually has become very touchy. And I explain to you this way. When the process started, I can accept skepticism. Right? Mm. During the process, I can accept skepticism. Right? Mm. But at this point where we are, skepticism is akin to not wanting progress.
Mm. So we can't have our reservations.
You will not allow reservations.
Wow.
What you are allowed to do at this point is stand up, step up, get involved, stop complaining. I've said it. Because I've already explained, if you look at the bill and you don't like it, out of the 30 or so provisions, there has to be one you like. Take that one. Make that your own. Develop the implementation plan for that one. Right? I will answer your second question after this. Mm-hmm. Right? If you not like a bunch of them, take those ones. Form groups. Discuss it. There's no room. I don't want to sound over idealistic, but you got to understand that when the idea for the bill started, right? Okay. How did the idea for the bill start? I got this appointment. I said to myself, okay, what do we do with it? Right? I've always been inquisitive about what happens in government because I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sitting here. This happens, bam. That happens, bam. You know, these guys are my friends. All of a sudden, they start crying. This is happening, bam. They're like, what is it? So you yourself as a person, you're not inquisitive. I love entrepreneurs. It's a passion of mine. I support entrepreneurs wherever I can. If you look at it now, I got a job in government. What did I come out with? One thing to support entrepreneurs. Right? So it's not about me. The point is, it's about what are you going to do? Right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? You know, so there's the bill there. You may not like some parts of it. You may like some parts of it. A lot of times, I think over the time, you say we did town halls. You know, those engagements, people think we weren't listening. There were several nuggets we were picking up from place to place that we're going, when I say go, well, we're going and making sure those changes were filtered into the system so they can at least be achieved. Mm. Example of one of them was, we had an engagement. This was pretty late. It was about council membership. They felt that the private sector was just a little too low. Mm-hmm. I thought it was okay. But it came from like 2-3 people. We went back, we looked at it, and we found a way.
To right? balance it.
There was another one about, you know, I don't know if you guys know CPN.
CPN? No, I'm not sure.
See, this is the problem. As Nigerian technologists, we should know who CPN is. I'm not going to lie, I didn't know who they were before either. Oh, right? Okay. But CPN is an agency, quasi-agency, that is supposed to register all tech professionals in Nigeria. Like, hold your qualifications, Google it. They exist. That's the right.
So why have we not been hearing of them?
Don't ask me questions that I have to lie to you about. Right? You know. So, and these are organizations that you guys. I say you guys. I mean young guys, because I just turned a little older the other day, so I'm feeling less like a youth. Right? You guys should be looking. Why are we not involved in Nigeria Computer Society? Why are we not involved in CPN? Why is the leadership of CPN and leadership of Nigeria Computer Society don't have you guys in it? Why? Mm. But those guys have sway in how technology is managed in Nigeria.
Interesting.
So a lot of times, we're all here technologists just sitting here. Don't get me wrong, I'm also guilty. My company does tech. I build data centers. I do networks. This is me. I have two companies that do these things. Did I know who CPN was? No. Right? And this is after years of managing technology in Nigeria. I've managed technology in Nigeria for a very long time. Right?
Yeah, people like us just to carry our MacBook and
stand. So I think the question I want to ask is, given the level of, is it misinformation or lack of information and orientation? It's when people are knowledgeable about something, they can be able to question it or get their own opinion on it. You get. So what is the... what's it called? The people, the stakeholders behind the Nigerian Startup Bill doing about or giving orientation to the people that should come in, the stakeholders that are still out there. How are they educating them? How do you want to get them involved? Because as it were, people don't care.
So I am so happy you ended your question with people don't care. So I would challenge anybody to audit the Nigerian Startup Bill media plan over the last year. Not even plan, let's forget plan. Let's talk about execution over the last year. And come back with a report that says we didn't try. Mm. We did rallies, 7,000 people showed up. We did, that was in the papers. We did the engagement, 6 geopolitical zones. We did several small engagements here and there, small places here and there. We did the learning series. There's nothing we didn't do.
I even saw some of the videos on YouTube.
Yeah, check YouTube. We have a YouTube channel. We do newsletter. So the reason why I'm asking this question in this detail, because the people involved, they're not paid, but they produce. These are people who have become believers. I'm not saying, why are you not a believer? That's the question I'm asking. So when we first started, we had over 200 to 300 volunteers. For a program, there's such a thing as being over-resourced. Right? We couldn't use them. Right? Like, even talented people like you, if you showed up, would have struggled to find something for you to do. Because, I mean, how many posters are you going to create? Right? So it got to a point, we started outsourcing. I mean, not even outsourcing. Is it outsourcing? No, we weren't outsourcing. We were franchising. Do you understand? We now said to, you too. You like Nigerian Startup Bill. Okay, you too. Go and start creating your own content. And share it with your friends. Right? You too, go and create your own content. Just this is the framework we're trying to talk about. This is the message for the day. Go and do your own. We got that far in how we try to get the message out. But you already answered the question in your question.
People right? do not care.
There's a lack of trust. But here's the interesting part. Nigerian Startup Bill is private sector government. Why don't you show up for the private sector part?
Fair point. Hi. Yeah, at this point, I think we should let Timmy come in. So we apologize for the issues with the network, but I guess Timmy is back now and he can also hear us. So Main question is what sticks out for you? What are those specifics that stand out for you in the Nigerian startup bill and the areas that could be improved upon?
Okay, yes. So that's a gamut of questions. So, and I like the fact that he has done extreme justice to the subject matter of, you know, areas of key highlights in that sense. Just add a few things. And also, I must tell you, as much as I would give so a few critic, right, based on the question you asked, which is the later part, I must also tell you that if the Nigerian Startup Bill can serve as an epitome, you know, a paradigm for how lawmaking should evolve in Nigeria. So it's just beyond the Startup Bill itself. Yep. It's about how the Startup Bill has tried to really engage with limited resources. No much of sitting allowance, you know, and evolved to this level. However, just a few things. So in terms of highlights, Section 3 stands out for me, right, in terms of the composition of Startup Management Council. Like he said, you know, that what may come out of the National Assembly's eventual past bill might be different from what we have at the moment, but we need to, that's where I think the media needs to focus on, because a lot of magic happens in between. That's what happened during the advocacy of the Not Too Young to Run, you know, where the proposal that was sent to when it got to the Senate was 430, and then when it came back, it remained the same age as it was, you know. Yeah, so these things happen. So I think that's what the media needs to look at. But in terms of Section 3 of the bill, I must say that that particular section, in terms of setting up a Startup Management Council, is quite instructive. Also, a particular section in the 24-page document, which talks about the Consultative Council, Advisory Council, is also very key because, aside the fact that, you know, Section 3 talks about the National Council for Digital Innovation and Entrepreneurship, which has an increasingly authoritative policy stake in how the startup bill or act is implemented, right? It's also instructive to know that it has something called an advisory or it gets consultation or feedback consistently from the Consultative Council, right? So, and the Consultative Council is made up mostly of private sector, non-governments. Yep. So you have the Computer Society of Nigeria in it. You have even some members who are already labeled startups, right? You have Hubs in it. You have a lot of stakeholders, although I didn't see the media in it, right? And what you promote is what becomes popular. But that's just my own, you know, critique of it, because the media is a key stakeholder in the whole frame of the entire ecosystem, particularly media platforms like TechPoint that marry the use of media and technology and can qualify as startup in that sense. Mm-hmm. So I think the feedback to that will be in considering the Consultative Council. For those who will be labeled startup, perhaps media houses who are labeled startups can also feature prominently through that window, although it is not explicitly stated as such. So I think that's one key thing from there. Then also, if you go a step further, you know, like you said, there's a dilemma when it comes to policy issues like this, particularly graduating to the level of bills and acts of parliament, right? There's usually the dilemma of, should we set up something new to serve as, you know, the administrative headquarters, right, which is the secretariat, or should we use existing structure? I think that NIDA hijacks that particular, because to be frank with you, you know, I have my friends in NIDA, but then this startup bill cannot be credited to NIDA alone. Yes, in the course of the process, that was a fantastic turn of events that they decided to take on and work collaboratively. But it's more of a private sector thing. It's a startup community that battered the startup bill, right? And then it now, you know, government now took initiative. Fantastic. We're glad about that. But I think NIDA took advantage of that, you know, in that sense, of becoming that administrative headquarters for administering the startup liberally and all those other things that are involved, of being the administrative headquarters of the act or the bill. Mm. That's extra work for NIDA. How NIDA is going to pull that through, considering your existing work that it has taken upon itself, with the extensive and elaborate powers that it has in the NIDA Act, you know, still begs the question in that sense. Now, in terms of the National Council for Digital Innovation and Entrepreneurship, right, I see that there seems to be an imbalance, sort of, but you cannot rule that fact out, right? There seems to be some level of collaboration in the constitution of that particular council. But where I see the imbalance is that it seems we have over 8 government parastatals, right, involved, and just over, I think, 4 to 5, in the non-government sector, which is like 50-60%, you know, still a good start, but could be better, you know. So, because you see, one thing with government, particularly in this part of the world, with populating such, you know, and in just such a progressive bill or law, is the fact that you see the body language of government. Like I see in policy, many times people, I say, look, policy is the actions of an inaction of those in governance or government institutions. And when you look at the body language of the policymakers, it is highly regulatory. You know, let's clamp down on this, let's, you know. So it is not shown to be as much as collaborative as we should be, right? And because of that challenge, well, this is a good start. And when they see the result of this, they will realize that collaboration with the private sector is still the best way, you know, to drive innovation, yep, rather than just use the hammer and stick approach, right? So with that kind of body language, I'm afraid that a laudable subject matter, a laudable platform as this, you know, might be dominated by that mindset, the mindset to, you know, want to just use the hammer and stick approach. But I hope that the small number of voices who represent the private sector will be tilted towards reasoning, you know, in that sense of government agenda. You know, one thing with government is that, particularly in a democracy like ours, is that when a certain agency take a particular action, there seems to be that there's a coordinated agreement, unconscious agreement, that this is where they wanted to go towards, right? So when you have all those number of 8 stakeholders in that council, what you then have is that you have 8 people who have one voice, right? Against 5 people who have different dissenting voices, right? Because if, for example, the government of the day's policies towards hate speech, like the Minister of Information has always been on hate speech since 1960, boom, boom, you know, that has been the core of his agenda, not realizing that, you know, the Ministry of Information is also the Minister of Information and Culture, and that you can collaborate with the innovation space to even drive that second element, which is culture, right? So fake news, hate speech, and you see that the direction, NIDA recently released a certain bylaw that is to the effect of, you know, trying to, that people perceive not to have been consultative enough, and seems to stretch the extent of the infringement of the fundamental human rights of Nigerians in that sense. Because the road to hell can be littered with a lot of good intentions. And so you see that what I'm trying to say in essence is that sometimes it's difficult in this part of the world, or dangerous, to have a proliferation, a larger number of government institutions as against private sector. So that might be a bottleneck that we might see going forward. Now, in terms of, that's still projective, that's projective. Now, in terms of looking at the issue around eligibility for grants of labor, right? I see in section 13.3, right, that talks about this act shall not apply to an organization which is a holding company or subsidiary of an existing company which is not registered as a startup. That itself is a very tricky one, because so far so good. As someone in tech law and policy, I see that, for example, a lot of startups, right, are in the position where they register subsidiary companies in Nigeria. And you know the reason why? The reason sometimes is because the investors that are putting in money will prefer that, you know, the first register like an organization somewhere in Delaware or sort of, you know, and then register, which is reasonable, then register a subsidiary in Nigeria. So what then happens to that subsidiary, which itself should have qualified as a startup? So that shows that a lot of startups, the people that we are trying to look into to benefit in this thing might even be ruled out from, you know, the expressed intentions of the community. So, and one thing with laws is that the law must reflect what I call the PE, that's the policy environment, right? So if, for example, you're trying to make law to benefit a particular community, it's good to take into cognizance what is the norm in that community. And the norm in the startup community is tilted towards registering subsidiaries, you know, so that itself might constitute a huge challenge. In terms of section, I know 24 to 32 talks about financial incentives. And for me, that is awesome, because I see a lot of things outlined. I think that is where, in rounding off, that is where the implementation challenge might lie, right? So if you look at the act, it's an act of parliament, and in legal parlances, act of parliament applicable all over Nigeria. Whether the states decide to wake up from their slumber and implement or not, it becomes its law, right? Now, NIDA is more like, let me use the word CAC, is the CAC of startup community. Now, that's what this bill is saying. So you cannot then create another CAC in the states. No, you can't. CAC, it can only have regions or state branches, right? So that is one key thing. However, this is where I see possibility for adoption in state legislation. You know, in the constitution, there's something called the exclusively, the concurrent list, and something called residual list.
Yep.
We know that, you know, for the sake of Constitution 101, right? So I believe we here know that, all that, but just for the sake of, you know, listeners.
Yeah, now, yeah, please.
Okay, so the exclusive list is issues that can be regulated by the National Assembly, which is made up of the Senate and House of Reps, and can be implemented by the federal government in terms of the executive at the federal level, exclusive to them, right? And then you have, for instance, nobody in no state can decide to go and print their own currency. Mm-hmm. It's exclusive to them. You know, so that's it. But then we have concurrence. These are issues that can then be regulated by both the states and the federal. You know, at the federal, many people still don't get it. At the federal, there's the Senate and the House of Rep. At the state, there's the House of Assembly. I've heard people running for office in interviews mix all this together, right? As surprisingly as it is, but you can understand, policy education is not a thing, you know, growing up in Nigeria. So the point there is this. Now, for issues of concurrent lists, where implementation challenges might lie is in terms of, for example, these financial incentives. There are certain tax that go to the federal government, certain tax that go to the states, right? Some of the areas that are touched in that financial incentive of Section 24 to 32, most importantly, are issues that somehow dovetail between state and federal governments. Federal government then cannot make provisions. For example, value-added tax. There has been a lot of debate about all that. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, personal income tax, right? I see where somewhere in the provision of that bill that talks about, you know, a startup employees, you know, can access a certain level of rebate or something as regards tax. So personal income tax, who collects personal income tax? Is it the state or the federal? You see, so those are core issues. Highlighting those core issues, that's where the work of states would lie. Highlighting core issues that are particular, peculiar to them, and extending those issues to accommodate their realities in the states. That is where, you know, there might be core implementation in terms of challenges, in terms of benefits. And that's where states should be looking at in that sense. Let me round up here. Okay, you can please. You have
All right, TV, thank you so much. That was really, really loaded. And yeah, once Timmy gets into it, I just like listening and taking.
It's educational.
Yeah, very, very educational.
I mean, we basically started from that concurrence list.
Okay.
When we developed the plan. And a lot of the tax provisions that he mentioned, they've been changed to accommodate that.
Okay.
So one of the things that you have to look at is in the state adoption is that, you know, it's really from a perspective of how do we make our states competitive, right? You know, you mentioned you're from Ondo State.
Yes.
You want to do a startup, right? But then you come to Lagos. But the idea you're really doing really belongs is for Akure, where you're operating out of Lagos, right? So it has to be that when you're trying to do your startup, it has to be that you look at the states from a perspective of which state has the laws that applies to your business, helps your business better. So maybe I'm from Edo State, but guess what? Plateau's startup bill is the one that works for me. So that's kind of the long vision, right? So states will develop their own bill within the things they can manage in their state and in the competitive angle that they want. So the conversation we had with several states, I can tell you each state is looking a little differently. You know, Ekiti has their own little strategy they're doing, very interesting. Edo State has started their own with the training thing they're doing. Very, you know, so every state, Lagos has started something and they're going to, you know, so every state is actually coming to it from a different angle as we expected. And that's what's going to make that state, right, attractive. A lot of stuff that will be in the bill will be stuff that can be managed from the federal level. I want to remember some other things that Timmy mentioned.
So around, talked about Delaware and startups.
Well, so there's a question about, you know, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah.
Right? So I won't answer. I will let you guys answer. You're Nigerians, right? But ultimately, I think the interpretation of that is not exactly 100% correct, because in the end of that paragraph, that's why I left my laptop here, because I wanted to be able to see the exact sections. You will see that it says that it's not already, you know, labeled as a startup. So this current structure of companies being startups in America, Delaware, then do a subsidiary here, they're a startup in America. You understand? So when they get here, they're still a startup, right? So it doesn't exactly apply to them. I think that particular provision was, I don't know, an insurance company, you know, I don't want to name any of them, big insurance company, decides they want to do a startup, right? That's what that provision was addressing. That
well, is it clear so that
no, it's clear. It's all in implementation. But if you read it again, I don't want to start reading on air. But if you read it again, you see that in the end it says that it's not already, right? So any company that goes to, you know, TechPoint registered in Delaware, their startup went to Delaware now. TechCrunch, you know, oh, not TechCrunch, TechCabal labels in. They're already a startup when they, you know, Flutterwave, they were a startup when they. When they registered in Delaware and so forth and so on. So that sort of balances that out.
Okay. I think that makes sense. So I don't know if we would have enough time to address all of the issues that...
He brought up fantastic points. I mean, they're all great points. Like I've said, you know, look at the bill, determine what you think are potential issues, potential hiccups, and develop a plan. You know, the question you asked earlier that I don't think I answered was how do you get involved?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was a time when we had a group of people and the volunteers, there were over 100 people. All they did was repost because we had a lot of volunteers. Over time, you know, it's been over a year, people will lose interest, they'll move on. I think as we go into the implementation, we're going to design a program that would have a way to gather ideas on how to support from the private sector, how to support the implementation team on executing the bill. That would definitely happen. So we get, because the bill will be now very, very public. You read it, you have your interpretation, you know, discuss it with your friends, get a better understanding. When you don't have a better understanding, seek understanding. We're very open and ready to explain.
Okay, so this is like an assurance to the public and every stakeholder that will be affected or is involved in it, that anything or any idea they bring forward concerning the startup bill will be addressed.
No, that's not an assurance of that. When you say addressed, it means...
Not like it will be implemented, like it will be looked into.
There's no feedback we've gotten into the entire process that wasn't looked into.
Hmm.
Not a single one. So maybe I'll give some insight to how the bill was developed, right? There was a core writing team, development, drafting team that was made up of several legal firms. And people, during that volunteer period, people actually came up and said, I want to help with drafting the bill. And they were put in the drafting team, right? Hmm. Several people, a big team, and they actually collected and took in what was collected from the engagement team. So we had an engagement team that was going out, having the six zones, going to different things, going to schools, talking to pastors. We talked to everybody, right? So when people say that they didn't know about it, I shrug my shoulders and go, oh, wait, well, Nigeria is very big, right? We talked to a lot of people. Then after the bill got its first draft, we now created about, I want to say, 8 groups. And each group had maybe, depending on the kind of group it was, had 50 people, maybe 10 people. You know, one group was very senior financial funders and startups. So the likes of Flutterwave, somebody was there. The likes of former minister of their communication was there.
Okay.
You know, very serious. The likes of Tommy Davis was there. Very senior people sat in that group and they reviewed the bill and gave feedback. There were also other groups called like early startups, young guys. They were there. They gave their feedback. Right? It's not give feedback, say we just flashed the bill in front of them. No, they were given a Google link and they actually were typing into it.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, we ended up with documents, several documents that had different inputs on how to best, you know, from 10 different groups. We went as far as education, professors, you know. So these are the things that were happening in the background, right? So that's why when you now see the public hearing, if you go look at the table of the public hearing, you will see that people pretty much just came and said, yeah, we've seen it already, we like it. You know, but that's, you know, if you were engaged in the process. You know, we did a very good job of making sure that we put it in front of people.
Mm.
So it's not a case that now I'm going to start making assurances that, like, as if I found religion. It's now that I'm going to say we're going to start taking input. No, we've always done that, right? Even at the very late stages, we're still taking input and saying, okay, we'll find a way. Maybe we'll give it to the chairman or give it to say this is very important or please make it, you know, consider it. Because at a point, it's no longer our bill. Right. So if you look at the three phases of it, there was a point where it was a NSB team bill. We were developing it and we're engaging everybody, talking to people. Then at one point it became the president's bill. At that point, well, how can you touch it? It became a fake document. Then after that, it got passed to the National Assembly. Like right now, I don't have a version of it. Right. It's the National Assembly that has a version of the bill. Right, when they finish their how they do their bill and they pass it out, then we'll now have officially the document that we can now say, okay, here's the bill, though. It's been published. Here's the bill. Everybody look, right?
Yeah.
So there's been no time that we have not taken feedback, right? We had several town halls, several, and you know the interesting about the town halls, they were done by people from the state. I didn't fly from Abuja to what was that one, in Kwara, to do a town hall. I didn't fly from Abuja to Lagos to do a town hall. It was local tech people. Even the Kaduna, hashtag Kaduna adopts NSB, was started by the local ecosystem. It wasn't me talking to the governor. Right?
Mm. That makes sense. So, yeah, I think we've addressed a lot of things. And of course, if I just keep going and going and going, we'll not end this conversation. So, yeah, if... There are so many things I want to say, talk about, ask, and all of that, but probably 1 hour will not be enough. So,
yeah, continuing this conversation online.
This is a conversation we'll have to continue, and I'm sure whoever is watching this, you're going to be having lots and lots of comments, and I'll be able to answer a few, but anyone I cannot answer, I'll carry it to my
guy.
Do not carry it to me. Go to the NSB team. See, that's the other thing. There's so many different channels to contact the NSB.
Okay.
This is why I answered your question the way I said earlier, when I said, what will you do? Mm. Right? Yeah. It's not a bill for me. Guys, man, I just turned 47 the other day.
I've been working for close to 25 years.
Yeah.
It's not Nigerian Startup Bill. It's not for me. When I gave my when I stepped into the National Assembly to talk about this, I said, I come on behalf of your children. Do you understand?
Yeah.
It's not a bill for me. Right? So the question is, what will you do? There's an implementation about to happen. How are you going to be engaged in it? There's a state adoption that's about to happen. How is your state adopted the Nigerian Startup Bill? There are things in the bill you don't like. How are you highlighting? Don't, there's no need to come for me. People are sitting there thinking they're going to come for me on Twitter. For what? I wait on my car, I'll go home. It doesn't concern me.
So this is a clarion call to everyone participating in the tech ecosystem.
It's for
it's
you.
And now.
It's a starting point. Because if you think of the very first thing you must think about, even passing the bill was seen as impossible. So that's why I said earlier, I will not accept
reservations.
Because we have passed a bill in the National Assembly now. A bill about you. So how can you still be lukewarm? This is when you're supposed to take the bill on your back, own it, and do something.
Ecosystem. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Do something.
Do
so
something.
We should be expecting the paper out very soon when it's published. The NSB will be expecting your reservations that are not allowed according to us word. Your
do something. Because your reservation, you should have an actionable plan for your
right.
reservation. Don't reserve and do it on Twitter and move on.
Right.
Have a plan about your reservation.
Yes, mm-hmm. So we are looking forward to it, and the excitement is there, and we are hoping that this happens in our generation. It starts getting the necessary outcomes that we desire from it. Thank you very much, Oswald. Okay. You've done a great deal by coming here today and giving us your time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah,
and Timmy too. Timmy, thank you very much.
Timmy, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Awesome.
Timmy, you sent us virtual bill. This one that you're...
What did you say?
You will send us virtual beer.
So, yeah, so yeah, if you're listening to us for the first time, remember to share this podcast, share the video, anywhere you see it, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. Please share to all your friends. Make sure you're part of the conversation. And if you're listening to us on any podcast channel, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere else you find your podcast. And I remain Emmanuel Paul.
I am Oluwani Femi.
Yeah, so.
Bye.
Bye-bye. See you some other time.